quiz. Do you know what the phrase stuck in a groove means? How about drop a dime? What if I quoted a line New York Times columnist David Brooks wrote about Hillary Clinton during the election? To wit, in the first debate, she's Emily Post. Now she's Howard Beale. If you got precisely none of those references, chances are you're under 30. And that's a problem, according to Ralph Kies, whose new book is called I Love It When You Talk Retro, Hoochie Coochie, Double Whammy, Drop a Dime, and the Forgotten Origins of American Speech. Journalists, he says, run the risk of alienating potential readers, especially young people and immigrants, when they use retro catchphrases and allude to films from their baby boomer youth. Someone, he says, has got it bad when it comes to retro speak is MSNBC host Chris Matthews. Here he is, rapping with Pat Buchanan.
Pat, are you going to spend the next 3 years playing St. John the Baptist for Sarah Palin? I mean, you never miss a beat here. You push for her harder than any. What did she do for? I'm sorry, her husband was in the Split from America party with you. Is that what she was, a Pitchfork family or what?
No,
what,
Chris,
is the love,
Chris,
affair
your
here
problem
about?
Is your problem again is this woman problem you've got, Chris?
Oh, here
for
we
two
go.
Weeks.
I forgot that you were the new Alan Alda of our times.
Well, I call Chris Matthews the king of retro talk because he is constantly, he's 63, I'm 64, so we're age mates, and he's constantly throwing around phrases like a Perry Como calmness, a Norma Ray America, Borscht Belt, or a Blue Plate Special. We often hear people in the media bemoaning, oh my God, younger people don't even watch the news anymore. All they're doing is texting and Twittering. Well, how can we win them back? Well, I don't think using a lot of reference to dated movies and events from the boomer past is a good way to approach them.
You know, Garfield and I were talking about this issue, and it turns out that our kids know all the references to any 70s sitcom that either of us could possibly dole out because of Nick at Night and TV Land. Maybe they don't know the movie references, but the TV ones are a piece of cake.
Yeah, I think I've in the past maybe made a little too much out of TV references, maybe partly because I grew up in Puerto Rico and we had no TV at that time in the 50s.
You know, you've revealed a lot about yourself by saying you grew up without a lot of TV in the 50s in Puerto Rico. I can see the built-up frustration wandering around in a fog of references that you wouldn't understand, hence this book.
Well, Brooke, it's worse than that. I had no idea that my first name had comic overtones until we came back from Puerto Rico to Illinois, and everybody starts saying to me, hey, Ralphie boy, and I had no idea what they were talking about.
Ralph Cramden?
Ralph Cramden.
Now, the point I was trying to make about the television references is that we can draw the conclusion from that little bit of anecdotal experience that the solution probably isn't to shear our language of history, but to make successive generations more familiar with it. If a kid doesn't understand about Nixon's missing 18 minutes, it means that it didn't make it into their history class, and maybe it should have.
Well, my point isn't that these types of allusions, where you might expect to have learned them in school, are the ones that you need to be concerned about. But I heard John Berman on ABC, news correspondent, made a reference to a Joe Namath-like prediction. I think it was Romney predicting he was going to win the presidential nomination. Okay, he's referring to Super Bowl III, where the Jets beat the Baltimore Colts. Big upset. Joe Namath had made a prediction that they were going to win. Joe Namath was the Jets quarterback. Well, people who grew up watching NFL football, as I did in the 60s, got that illusion. But even a lot of fervent sports fans who are younger today, I'm not sure knew what he was talking about.
I'm not a sports fan. I wouldn't have gotten the illusion, though I knew who Joe Namath was. I could have guessed, but even if I didn't, who cares?
Well, there are two issues here, Brooke. I mean, first of all, the issue is, do you get the illusion in the sense of the point being clear? And often you can kind of figure out, as you say, from the context, what point he's trying to make, even if you don't know the exact illusion. But the second point is, are you dating yourself when you use these illusions? Are you as much as saying to your audience, I come from a certain generation? I don't know if people out there who are younger than me get these illusions, and I'm not sure I care.
Has there been any backlash in response to your article?
Boy, did they beat up on me in the comments, the reporters and others writing in and saying, how dare I question their right to use pop culture references. But Then it was very interesting. A whole second wave, mostly of bloggers, said, well, wait just a second. You know, when I read newspapers and watch TV shows, I feel like I'm butting in on a boomer conversation, and it doesn't make me feel part of things. So in my estimation, the cavalry came galloping over the hill, to use a retro reference.
But don't you think that the reverse is also true? In fact, isn't it a mark of youth to develop a language that alienates their parents?
Oh, sure. That's what youth is all about. But people who use slang today will pay their dues 20, 30, 40 years from now when they talk to their kids about, well, let's hit the refresh button or OMG or LOL. And their kids look at them like, huh.
Ralph, thank you very much.
Thank you, Brooke. I've enjoyed it.
Ralph Kies is the author of I Love It When You Talk Retro, Hoochie Coochie Double Whammy, Drop a Dime, and The Forgotten Origins of American Speech.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.